All right. Well, if you would, please, would you welcome everyone watching on the internet right now on our Geneseo campus? Good morning. God bless you. We love you all. It's so good to have you tuned in with us right now. Are you ready for the Bible? You ready for the Word this morning? And go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. You can open up your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 1. Book of Luke chapter 1. I'm going to get there in just a moment. We are in a series right now entitled, "Tis the Season to Be." And it's a little different series because the Lord is, I believe, telling us and sharing us more of His heartbeat for this period of time. It's not so much education, it's not so much just messages where you just take notes and you're like, oh, that was a good message. But I'm asking you to listen with heart of expectation. I'm asking you to listen as if God, what God is saying right now is coming to pass in your life right now, okay? Because I really believe it is a special time. I think God, you know, He always has times and seasons. And then when God begins to flip the switch on in a certain season, it's important that we stay in step with Him. It's important that we say yes to Him and that we don't hold back. And so I'm not asking you to analyze today everything I say. I'm asking you to receive it with a heart of faith today. Last week, we talked about 'tis the season to be free. Today, I want to talk to you about 'tis the season to be surprised by grace. And I have Maria helping me right now, coming out with a special gift, I believe. Let's see if she's listening back there in the back. Maria, are you coming? Maria, I don't see her coming. This is a surprise to me. She's not coming. All right. I can vaguely tell this illustration is going very well. All right. There we go. All right. This is our little surprise gift right now. And inside of this box, of this little gift box, is our little friend. And this is our little kitty at home. And her name is Grace. And that's why I said we're being surprised by gifts of God's grace. And she's a blessing in our lives. And we received grace back in August this year. And it's fun because all around the house, we're calling the name of Grace. We're like, Grace, come. Grace cometh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we're calling grace into our lives. And she really is that. I mean, she's almost like a dog in a way. She waits at the door for you. She sleeps on our beds. And she'll start like at our son Daniel's bed in the middle of the night. And then she'll end up at the foot of our bed. So we're literally waking up with grace at our feet, you know, to start the day. Last week I was praying in our living room where the Christmas tree is, and I was praying. All of a sudden, the tree started shaking, and I'm like, yes, Lord, what would you have to say to me? And it was grace. Grace surprised me in the tree. I look over, I'm like, whoa, hey, surprised by grace. You know what's funny? What's funny is that that same day, I had put a post on Facebook, something about God, something really powerful about God. I had like 24 people like it. I put a picture of grace in the tree. 155 people liked it. You know what I'm saying? So the truth of this whole thing is, if you want people to like something, throw a cat in a tree, and people will respond. People will enjoy that. But I wanted to talk to you about being surprised by the gift of God, of grace, in your life this season. Because really, the Lord's about to show up in some powerful ways in your life. Can I get an amen on that? I'm going to tell you some stories today in the Bible. This is a holiday season in that, you know, spirit, a lot of stories. So if you forgive me, I'm going to tell you about 12 Bible stories in the period of about 30 minutes. Each story is its own sermon. And I'm sitting there going, God, this is good material. I could preach this for the rest of the year. And it's like, no, you need to tell them all the stories at one time because they have a similar theme. And that is, these individuals I'm about to tell you all had breakthroughs in their life, all had life transformation and change. It was a suddenly moment, and it was all by the grace of God. God came to them. God revealed a plan. God revealed a power. God revealed a breakthrough. God revealed a healing. God brought it to them in a way, in a day that they weren't expecting. And I mean, even today, again, I don't say little teaching messages this morning. My heart today is we are people of faith and we believe in a supernatural God. Amen? And when God says He's going to do something, it may be in the most boring day you've ever thought. It may be in a time that you thought there's no way in this period of time could things change, because all you see is the negative. All you see is the opposition. And here today, as I've been seeking the Lord about this message, the heartbeat today is this. You're about to be surprised about what God's going to do in your situation. And it's going to be by the grace of God, not because you finally prayed enough, not because you finally got your act together, not because you finally earned the breakthrough. These are breakthroughs. These are blessings. These are turnaround moments that are rooted and grounded in God just wanted to. Because God made an initiative move to you, towards us, and says, this is the time I'm going to make everything different. This is the time I'm going to bring transformation. It's a season to be surprised by the grace of God. Open your Bibles, like I said, into the book of Luke, chapter 1. I'm going to tell you about the story where Mary receives a surprise message from the angel Gabriel. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Are you there? All right. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." That's a nice statement when an angel shows up, by the way. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Amen. Now here's the deal. I want you to see something quickly. You are favored of God because of what Jesus has done for you. See, he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Today, you might not think of yourself as being favorable, but if you have given your heart to Jesus, if you have committed him and he's your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about you being perfect here. The Bible doesn't say anywhere here that Mary was perfect. The Bible doesn't give us any clue of what Mary was like. Mary could have had a bad attitude towards her parents. Mary could have had a bad attitude towards lots of things. The Bible doesn't say Mary was perfect. The Bible says God showed up in Mary's life suddenly, and he had an announcement to make, and he looked at her and called her favored one, blessed of God. It might surprise you what God's thoughts are towards you today. You might say, but what about this, Lord? My attitude still needs an adjustment. What about this, Lord? I haven't gotten my act together in this area. But you know what? One thing you have done is you've put your faith in Jesus. And you're standing with God. Your open access to the throne of grace is because of Jesus in your life. So honestly, today, God has a legal right to step into your life and call you favored one. Amen. And call you loved of God. The Lord is with you. She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" She was surprised. Okay. "I am a virgin." The angel said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month for nothing." And that's the key this morning. See, when God gets his mind to do something, he's going to do it. And nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And may your statement today be similar to that of Mary's. You know, there's a lot of things that happened in that correspondence there with Mary. What God was telling Mary had never been seen on the earth, had never been done. God was about to take her life, which was just a simple life and an obscure life, and he was about to place her on a platform where what was about to happen to her was going to change the face of humanity. He was about to save the world through this young lady who just that morning just got up and did her normal routine. But yet God surprised her, not because she earned the right to be the one that carried Jesus. God came into her life and said, "Surprise, I have a gift for you. I have an assignment for you. And this assignment that I'm about to give you is going to change the world. This assignment I'm about to give you is the answer to the prayers of humanity right now. And I have selected you and I've called you to do this." And you say to yourself, "Well, how, God? How is it going to happen? I mean, am I qualified? Am I good enough? Am I this? Am I that? What about this? What about this thing in my life? What about that thing?" But God showed up and said, "I'm calling you favored. And everything I say, don't say it's impossible. It is possible. I'll figure out the details of how to get it done." Your response to being surprised by whatever God's going to bring into your life is like Mary's. "Let it be done unto me according to your word." Not according to my understanding. Not according to my good works, not according to my best behavior, not according to my earning it. But Lord, if you're saying it, I'm receiving it. Amen. Don't put it off because of your lack of vision. Don't put it off because of an excuse of where you don't think you're enough or you don't think you're the one. And so today, in starting this being surprised by grace, you might be surprised even this week, this month, this year, the assignment and the vision. I believe in this season, God is tapping many of you on the shoulder saying, I'm going to use you in a way that no eye has seen and no ear has heard. And you might say, but I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too poor, or I'm the least of the choices. And yet God is going to come in and he's going to surprise you and he's going to say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit declares the Lord. He's going to tell you that what I have prepared for you and the assignment, it is going to make a difference in the world. It's going to make a difference in your city, in your family, in your neighborhood. And you don't have to figure out how, you just have to say yes. See, that goes to the next story I want to tell you, and it's found in Judges chapter 6. And it's about a young man named Gideon. Gideon, in similar fashion, these first few I'm going to share with you have to do with calling, because I really feel like some of you are going to be surprised in this season with the call of God on your life. The call of God on your life doesn't mean necessarily you quit what you're doing and go join a convent or a ministry or a church or something like that. The call of God on your life is right where you are. God has an assignment for you. But I think some of you are going to be surprised. You thought you were just going to go to work and be a businessman or work on the factory line, and God's tapping you on the shoulder saying, I'm going to use you to be the Moses of this factory. You're going to bring all of them out of captivity. See, you just had one thing on your mind, and God's going to surprise you. And you're going to say, God, I'm not the man. I'm not called, but God's grace has prepared you for that assignment. Are you understand what I'm saying? That's where this guy Gideon comes in, right? Israel is in bondage. Israel is being oppressed by the nation of Midian. There's a lot more of them than there are of the Israelites right now. They're hiding out in caves. Gideon is hiding out in a cave. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to him and calls him, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and is like, who are you talking to? I'm the guy hiding in the cave. I'm the least of the tribes of Israel. My father's house is the least. We're the least likely to do anything for God. And Gideon was called of God, and God told him who he was in God. God said, you are a mighty man, and I call you today. You are a mighty man or mighty woman of valor, but you might have found yourself as one of those paranoid, fearful individuals. And you always think God can use them because they're stronger. They have a strong personality. They have a strong, they have leadership giftings. And God chose the one that was the coward in the cave.
That's right. Come on.
So again, you might be surprised at what God's about to ask you to do. But whatever God asks you to do, God equips you to do.
Amen.
Amen. And you might think at that moment, Gideon became qualified. Gideon became this mighty man of valor. All it took was one time, the angel saying, mighty man of valor. And Gideon was like, that's right. You know who I am. But you know what we find out about Gideon? Gideon constantly needed affirmation to remind him that he was still the mighty man of valor and that the victory was still his. That may be some of us. Again, these are not things that you hear in a lot of our leadership meetings and a lot of conferences where we talk about being leaders and being confident and being this. Gideon was in constant need of affirmation. You might be, that's me. You might say, that's me. And I didn't think that God could use a person like me. God can. And if God says, surprise, you're the person, you will be the person. You know what's cool is God didn't rebuke Gideon for needing multiple affirmations. He just wanted Gideon to fulfill his destiny.
Yes.
Amen. Gideon needed another sign with the, we call it a fleece. For those of you who've never read these stories in the book of Judges, he put a fleece out and said, God, if you're really calling me, make the fleece dry and the ground wet tomorrow morning. So God did it. The next day he says, well, that's not enough. Let's do it opposite. Let's make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And God did it. And God didn't rebuke Gideon. He was just trying to get Gideon to believe. He was just trying to get Gideon to take the next step. And then you think, oh, and then Gideon was really convinced. But you know, God did, got to another step. He said, Gideon, if that's not even enough for you, send someone down to the Midianite camp tonight, and I'm going to prove to you once again that you're the person for the job. I just want you to see that not all leaders look qualified. Not all leaders look like leaders. And in this next season, 'tis the season to be surprised by the grace of God. I'm telling you, many of you in this room, I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're old, I don't care if you're rich, poor, tall, short, fat, skinny, bald, super hairy, whatever. I'm telling you, if God puts his finger on your shoulder and says, I have an assignment for you and it's going to change the world, your response is like Mary's, be it done unto me according to your word. Amen. Be it done unto me according to your word. 'Tis the season to be surprised at the potential that's about to come out of you. 'Tis a season to be surprised by the potential and the call that's about to come out of your life. But I'm a housewife, but I'm a mom at home, a stay-at-home mom, and but I'm this and but I'm that. You're not just anything. You are highly favored of God.
Amen.
And you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't matter. I'm a male, I'm a female, whatever. There's all these things. You know, another story similar, and I won't camp as much on each point, but the Lord really had me hammer down on this one, is another story, it's similar fashion in this idea of leadership and call, is the story of David. You know, nobody would have selected David to be the David that we know of today, the one that Jesus sits on the throne of, David. You know, back in the day when David was called, the prophet didn't even realize David was David. David's dad didn't even give David a second thought. God had told Samuel, the prophet, and said, I'm going to put a new king on the throne of Israel because the last king was full of pride. The last king had his own agenda. He wouldn't serve me. And so I'm going to rip the kingdom away from Saul. His name was Saul. He was the first king of Israel. And said, I'm going to give it to someone who has a good heart. And so God sends Samuel, the prophet, to the house of Jesse. And in that house, Jesse, the dad, has multiple sons. And Samuel says, bring me all your sons, because God's going to make one of them the king. And so he brings all of his sons in front of the prophet. And he didn't even bother to call David, who was out in the field guarding his father's sheep, because he had no thought that God would ever use David. David was just a little kid. David was nothing special. David was kind of funky because he was just going around singing songs all the time. You know what I'm saying? And God's going to choose a manly man. God's going to choose the oldest son, the most handsome, the tallest, the strongest, not David. And yet David's dad and the prophet didn't even consider, because the moment the prophet got through all the sons, he said, is this all your sons? And Jesse goes, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot I had another one. His name was David. And so they brought David in. And the prophet looks at David and says, this can't be him. He's just a little guy. And yet in that moment, God says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Okay? I want you to see something. David wasn't praying to be the next king of Israel. He was surprised by the call. He was surprised that the grace of God came. David didn't earn it. You say, well, but he had a pure heart. There was probably a lot of people in Israel with a pure heart. The Bible doesn't say he was the only one in Israel with a pure heart. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes, again, we get in this religious mindset that everything we get, we have to earn. And somehow David earned the call of God because he was the purest of hearts. But he wasn't. He had a pure heart. He had a tender heart towards God, but that's not to say no one else in Israel had a tender heart to God. But for some reason, God chose and picked David for such an assignment as this. You know, it was a message like that that touched my heart as a young man. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be David, the one that maybe, I wasn't the swiftest. I wasn't the strongest. Matter of fact, when I was little, I was the roundest. I bought Huskies, hallelujah. That was who I was, praise God. I was not the one that you would have sought or thought. But it was a message like this, and I was like, God, if you can use anybody, please use me. And the same is true for any of us. You understand? David was surprised that day. He just got up and went out to do his father's business. He just went out and did what he always did, but surprise, surprise, God had an announcement to make, and God came towards David. David didn't earn it. God came towards David and said, I'm going to reveal to you your future. I'm going to reveal to you your destiny. You're going to change lives of this nation. You're going to bring this nation through. And that's what I'm saying. Again, people might have bypassed you. People might have looked over you, but you're about to be surprised at the call of God in this season, the assignment that God's going to reveal to you in the night season, in your prayer time, or in your heart, even while you sit here today. God is going to reveal an assignment to you that you might say, I'm not the swiftest, I'm not the strongest, I'm not the best for it. But God says, surprise, I'm coming to you with my grace, and I'm calling you in, calling you into the game. Amen. Amen. Let's move on to another surprise that God would have for us today. I look at Peter in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Peter was surprised, and this is a financial surprise. You know, Peter had been asked by the Roman officers, say, are you going to pay taxes? And Peter was like, I don't know. I'm serving God, and God's actually in the next room. Let me go ask God if I have to pay taxes, okay? So he walks in, because if anyone's going to say, I don't have to pay taxes, God's going to help me say, I don't have to pay my taxes. So, Jesus, do we pay taxes? You know, maybe some of you have asked that question. God, why do we pay taxes? And do we really have to pay taxes? And Jesus says we're going to do the right thing. There's God's word on it. There you go. Don't end up in jail. Pay your taxes. All right. And so Jesus says something. He says, Peter, you go fishing, and in the mouth of the next fish you catch is going to be enough for our taxes. Why do I bring that up? It's because Peter was surprised, not that they had to pay taxes, but that, you know, I want you to see something. Money and provision is not a big deal for God. Peter was surprised the method that God was going to use to pay that bill. You know, God could have used a practical method. He could have pulled money out of the treasury. They had a treasurer. His name was Judas. Good choice. He had a treasurer. His name was Judas. But Jesus decided to do it differently. I wonder how many times we get so scared because in the natural, we think provision needs to come from this way. But you understand that Jesus isn't limited. God isn't limited to how to provide for you in the moment of need. And it didn't say Peter earned that. Jesus paid his taxes and Peter's taxes. No one said that Peter earned that. You understand? And there's 11 other disciples. Did Jesus pay their taxes? We have no record. I could just see Peter going, my taxes got paid. Jesus paid my taxes. Bible doesn't say Jesus paid everybody else's taxes. It was grace. God just chose to pay Peter's taxes too. But what I'm trying to help you see is that God isn't limited to one way to get the job done in the area of your provision. There is maybe the practical way, the conceivable way, but sometimes Jesus does it a way that you would never have imagined. The idea is he's going to surprise you and he's going to provide for you in a way that maybe you aren't even seeing coming, but it's going to come. Amen. You understand, throughout the Bible, provision is just nothing for God. It's just easy. But so many times he does it in ways that we weren't expecting, and we're surprised by his grace and his goodness. You know, even look at Israel coming out of Egypt, and they were hungry, and so God begins to feed them with manna. Okay, for some of you aren't familiar with the Bible or the Old Testament, manna, the idea of manna is it had never been seen before. It was a bread-type substance that tasted like honey and wafers. And it would be on the ground every morning so that all of Israel could eat and have their fill. And that manna had a supernatural quality to it. It kept them healthy. It kept them strong. It kept them through the middle of heat and desert, kept them youthful and young. That manna had a supernatural ability to it. You know what the word manna means? What is this? No one had seen it before. God had a way of providing in the middle of a desert in a way that no one had ever seen before. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And then the Israelites complain. And they go, well, we've eaten this manna, which is food from heaven. Like, that's going to be enough for us. And they're like, we want some meat. That sounds like a bunch of guys sitting around. We want some meat. And God says, fine, I'll feed you meat. Again, Israel didn't earn the meat. They were whining. They were complaining. I'm just trying to help you see. Now, am I trying to turn you into whiners and complainers? Absolutely not. But what I'm trying to help you see is how many times did God come through for people that weren't even praying for it, didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, but God said, this is what I'm going to do. And I think even in this season, there's going to be some of you surprised at God's breakthrough for you because you even sit there maybe with an attitude. You sit there kind of negative, like, we'll see if this happens. And yes, a good faith preacher would try to put you in a position of great faith and great confession. But I'm telling you, in this season, God's going to surprise some of the grumpy ones in the room. Some of the doubters in the room. Some of the whiners in the room. Because his grace is reaching out to you saying, hey, you're my kid, and I do these things, whether you think I do them or not. Amen. And so God says, fine, I'll give you meat. I'll give you something. I love God. You know God made Italians because he has an Italian somewhere in his heart. Hey, there's a reason. You know, it's like you have a brother-in-law or you have someone in your life that, you know, you can't do some things, but they can do some things. You know, it's like, well, I would never go after that guy who offended me, but I got a cousin that's barely saved. And I think God was like, well, I won't do it, but I got these Italians that I'm making and, you know, maybe not. Sorry, Lord, that's probably totally wrong to say that. But I can use my imagination, that's all. It's fine. But anyways, God, when they asked for meat, they said, I want meat. And he says, fine, I'll give you so much meat, it's going to come out your nose. That's why I said it's like an Italian. You read it in the language. That's what he says. I'm going to give you so much meat, it's going to come out your nose. I just love that. I could totally see an Italian saying that. Fine. Anyways. So they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it, but God met the need. God provided in a way that they weren't expecting. There's another time. There's another lady where a prophet shows up in her life, and she's in so much debt, they're going to take her sons away from her. And the prophet steps in and says, go borrow a bunch of vessels and start pouring out some oil, and you just keep bringing in vessels, and that oil will not stop. And she just keeps pouring this little bottle of oil, and she borrows every vessel that she can find from every friend that'll give her anything. And she has all this oil, and she goes and sells the oil, and she pays off all of her debts. She didn't know that was going to happen. She didn't earn it. She wasn't. Now the Bible doesn't say she was sitting there calling in oil. She was believing and receiving and sowing and reaping. I'm saying this lady was in a place of need, and God showed up and met her need of provision in a way she never would have imagined. In her mind that morning, her kids were going to jail. Her kids were going to be slaves somewhere. But by that night, God had paid her debt in full, not because she was qualified, not because she was super special. God just showed up and did the thing. Amen. Surprised by the grace of God. Surprised by the grace. I'm surprised that I don't know where my notes are. Surprised by the grace of God. You know, surprised by healings. You know, there was a guy in the book of Acts, you know, Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, and Peter and John show up at the temple to worship, and there's a beggar there. The Bible tells us that this beggar was lame in his legs all of his life, I believe, and it was over 30 years. It's one of the longest cases of illness in the Bible that we see. It's a very long-running illness. And in Acts chapter 3, this beggar is sitting there begging for alms, begging for money. Peter and John go to pray that day, and they see the beggar. And they've probably seen him for the last 30 years. He's been there, you know, just every day. And this beggar was just looking to get enough provision to survive the day. And he looked at Peter and John, and he was asking for money. Peter and John look at him and say, "Silver and gold have we not." At that moment, the beggar's probably like, bummer. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I was hoping for. But you know what? God had something more than the beggar was hoping for. God, in this moment, was about to surprise this beggar, not with just enough food for today, but with the legs he always wanted. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I not, but that which I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And he jumped up and he walked and he started running through the temple. The beggar that day, the Bible doesn't say the beggar was asking for healing. He was asking just to get through the day. Some of you right now, or some of you even on the internet, I'm telling you, 'tis the season to be surprised by the grace of God. You might be thinking one thing. You just want to get through the day, and God has a surprise of grace that's coming your way. He's going to fix some things you weren't even asking for. You thought you needed to survive, and Jesus has the real thing that you need, and he's going to bring it into your life. You might have stopped asking even for some of those things. The beggar probably thought there was no hope for my legs, but God, with God, there's always hope. With God, there's always the able. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen. That's what the angel declared to Mary. And so today, you might be thinking you're coming in just for a nice little word, and you're going to walk out with fresh legs. You're going to walk out with your healing from cancer. You're going to walk out with new kidneys. You're going to walk out. Come on, you can say amen, somebody. You're going to walk out with new eyesight. You're going to walk out with new back, with new hips, whatever. Surprised by the grace of God. This, I'm telling you, yes, we believe in standing and praying, but some of these times in Scripture, like this beggar, God just showed up. And because of grace, he heals this guy. Not because he earned it, not because he was qualified. He wasn't even looking for it. And God brought him healing. Amen. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. And this woman was sick for 12 years, bleeding for 12 years. She had become poor because of her sickness. She had spent all that she had, the Bible said, on physicians and doctors, and they couldn't help her at all. And this day comes where she hears Jesus is coming through the street. See, grace comes. I love that story. I love that. You know, the Bible says law came through Moses, but grace and peace came through Jesus. Grace came. Jesus came. And maybe that's what's happening to you today. Grace is coming. Jesus is coming. He's about to surprise you with what he's about to do. His thoughts towards you. We just thought about saying about, oh, how he loves us. You have no idea how much he loves you. Amen. And he's here to bring gifts, and he's here to bring breakthrough, and he's here to bring restoration. He's here to bring back all that the devil stole. Amen. You're his kid. You may not be the best kid in the house right now. You may be acting one way or whatever, but you belong to him. Amen. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You know what's going to happen when God shows up and you didn't feel like you earned it? You're going to sit there and go, "You are so good." Amen. And you're going to begin to worship in a way that you've never worshiped before because you didn't earn what you just received. And so your worship becomes an overwhelming expression of gratitude. Anyways, this woman with the issue of blood comes through the street, or hears Jesus is coming. You know what I hear in that story is hope. She had lost hope. And maybe some of you have been dealing with a sickness long term and you've lost hope. And in this story, I just want to encourage you that grace comes. And God has a way of taking care of your need. There is a power, there is a virtue, there was a power that came out of Jesus and set this woman's life straight, set her perfect and healed her. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I really believe this in my heart, you might have given up that there's any solution. Doctors may have said to you, there's no way, there's no procedure, there is no method, there is nothing else we can do for you. I'm here to tell you, either God has a will to heal you, and he'll either heal you supernaturally, or he's going to provide another way to get you healed. But the bottom line is, there is a hope, there is a message, there is a grace to heal you. And do not quit and do not give up, because all things are possible for those who believe, okay? And there is a grace. And so that's why I'm here to encourage someone in the room today. Just because man says there is no way doesn't mean that there is no way. All right? And so whether God heals you through a supernatural touch, or he has to this month create a new way to do something that no one else has thought of before, it could happen this month. Like all of a sudden you get a phone call, hey, there was a breakthrough in some university hospital and you're a candidate, get over there. So I'm just saying the will of God is healing, whether it's through divine hand or through he just changed the schedule of medicine to get you what you needed when you needed it. God, the grace of God is going to get you what you need. Amen. 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 I think of surprised by grace in the area of salvation. Two little characters I like to talk about, Luke chapter 19 and Acts chapter 9. You can write it down and look at it later, but you see Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He was a tax collector. He was hated in the culture. He stole from people. He was a liar and a thief. Probably put people out of their houses because he wanted to live in luxury. Zacchaeus was not a great guy. And yet, in this one moment, the Bible says that Zacchaeus heard Jesus, or grace was coming by, and he climbed up into a tree to see and behold this Jesus. And he was short, so he couldn't see over the crowd. I love that story. And Jesus stops the crowd. And he looks at the most unlikely candidate in the crowd, probably the guy that everyone else in this crowd wishes God would judge. He stole my house. Because of him, my life has been miserable, that guy. And Jesus stops everybody and looks at probably the most hated guy in the room and says, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to your house. That's being surprised by grace. That's getting a gift that he didn't deserve. The honor of having God over for dinner. And Jesus says, I'm going to eat with you tonight. That's being surprised. I reach out to some of you right now watching the internet, some of you right here. You think I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And yet Jesus is about to surprise you right now with grace and say, today I'm about to visit your house. Today I've got my eye on you. But I haven't earned it. I have done this. I have sinned. I have hurt my family. I have hurt my own future. I have done irreparable damage in the relationships in my world. And Jesus says, today I'm visiting your house. Amen. Surprised by the grace. It's surprising how far God will go for people. It's surprising, isn't it? He says, today I'm going to eat at your house. And so here they are at dinner and Jesus is just eating. The Bible doesn't say Jesus has even said anything. He's eating his dinner, eating some soup. I don't know if Jesus slurped or not. Maybe your Messiah didn't slurp. Maybe he slurped. And Zacchaeus, in the middle of the slurp, in the middle of the soup, stands up and he says, that's it. That's it. I repent. I change my ways. I'm going to give half of all of all I have back to people. If I've wronged anyone, I'm going to pay him back multiple times over. I'm not going to be that man anymore. I'm repenting. Jesus basically saved me. And in that moment, Jesus puts down his spoon and he says, today salvation has visited this man's house. In one moment, that day, Zacchaeus woke up filled with stealing in his heart, filled with selfishness in his heart, filled with pride in his heart. But in that one encounter where grace surprised him, yes, that man turned into a generous man, yes, turned into a repentant man, turned into a willing servant of God. Amen. You might be surprised that even the people in your world that you think are the farthest away, it just takes, this is a season, guys. Maybe hopefully it's a long season. But I'm telling you, you might be surprised that the most bitter, angry person in your business, the most bitter, angry person that you work with over there, that God's about to surprise them by grace. And you might be that bitter, angry person. And God is about to surprise you by grace. Paul was another example. Paul's name was Saul in the beginning. He was sent out, hell-bent on killing Christians, arresting their families, putting men, women, and children. The Bible says that like two or three times, really reinforcing the fact that Paul was on a rampage. Men, women, and children. children and puts them into prison. And the Bible says that he was on his road to Damascus to go do it again, and he was surprised by Jesus. The Bible says he saw great light in the middle of the sky. It knocked Paul off of his horse, and he looked up, and Jesus says to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Which is a great indication, by the way, because Paul was persecuting the church. But you have to understand something. Jesus identifies you with himself personally. To touch you is to touch God. You mess with you, you mess with God. He says, "Why are you messing with me?" Just to give you a little nugget of truth. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks?" Something was going on inside of Paul. Jesus reveals something in the heart of Saul. I keep referring Saul, Paul, same guy. And Jesus says, "What's going on?" He says, there's conviction going on the inside that people didn't know about. Why was Saul so angry? Why was he so intent in stomping out Christianity? It's because every time he put someone in prison and they stayed worshiping God, there was a witness and a testimony that was piercing his heart. Every time somebody laid down their life in front of him and said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing," or "Don't lay this charge against him," like Stephen said when they stoned him. Every one of those testimonies is piercing the heart of Saul. And what we didn't realize is some of the angriest people around us against God are some of the closest to meeting him. "'Tis the season to be surprised by the grace of God." And in one moment, Jesus shows up, surprises everybody that the greatest terrorist in the world, the greatest hater of Christianity, was about to become the greatest advocate for Jesus. And you today are a result of that one encounter with God. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, of which we preach. You today are fruit of that encounter, of that surprised by the grace of God. Last story. See, I told you I had like 12 sermons I preached to you. And they all have their own truth, but they all link into the same thought. None of these people were doing anything to earn what they received. None of these individuals I just talked to you about did anything to buy or earn or qualify. God just showed up and did it. Amen. Last one is Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. We're back to Italians again. I know, I got a way to work this in. The Bible says Cornelius was a member of the Italian band. They're a really good band, okay? Member of the Italian band. Probably a bunch of mandolins in the background. Actually, he was a soldier. These are Italian jokes. You're not going to get them, okay? You're not going to get them. It's fine. Anyways, Cornelius was a member of the Italian band, first Gentile to hear about the gospel. God sends Peter to his house. And here's what I want you to see, surprised by God. God sent Peter to Cornelius' house. Cornelius has his whole family together. Peter starts preaching a sermon. In the middle of the sermon, the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and all of his family. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, we do speak in new languages, praise God. But you know, we're not limited to just speaking with new languages. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we become empowered over anything the devil has. Amen? We have power to cast out devils. We have power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We have spiritual gifts that are given to us, which is words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Amen? Gifts of faith, workings of miracles. I'm telling you, we have some serious empowerment to go preach the good news and be overcomers. Amen. The Spirit of God was given that we would be overcomers and bring the light of Jesus to the world, and nothing can stop you. It's a dynamite power of God. Totally transformed Cornelius and his family in the middle of a sermon. Why do I bring this up? Because you're about to be surprised by God in some of these services you're attending. Sometimes we go to church and we don't realize that it's not just a normal day. That in the middle of any moment, in the middle of any sermon, an impartation, a filling of the Holy Spirit can happen at any time when the Word of God is being presented. And you're about to be surprised by the grace of God because you walked in thinking you were going to get a message. You're going to walk out with a healing. You're going to walk out with a calling. You're going to walk out with a breakthrough. You're going to walk out with the wisdom that you needed to turn the business around. You can be sitting in a service where the Holy Spirit is moving and you think you're there hearing one sermon and God's preaching an entirety another sermon to you, and you're getting the insight and the wisdom that you need to change your marriage, to change what's going on with your kids. It's the insights you need to go make $1 million next week because the Holy Spirit's got that kind of wisdom to turn everything around. Surprised that the Holy Spirit did something in the middle of a sermon. You know, you have no idea. That's why it's so important. You know, you have no idea what God's going to do in an environment like this while he's preaching the word. That's why it's important you get your kids in church. I didn't know what day that my parents dragged me to church that I was going to be saved. You need to get your kids in church. Amen. I wanted to stay home and watch cartoons because they were fun. And church was boring, in my opinion, when I was a kid. And I just sat there and looked at the ceiling. I counted every ceiling tile. I would draw on the offering envelopes because we didn't have iPads and iPods back then. We had an offering envelope with my iPad, or my iPad was my hand. Amen. But one day, in the middle of a sermon, the Holy Spirit came upon me. It called me into the kingdom of God. I went to that altar, gave my heart to Jesus, and never looked back. And I wanted to be in the ministry. I wanted to do God's work for my life. You have no idea what day that day is. There's so many people that come to church and they get surprised by God. That day, there's a healing waiting for them. We have healings every week that happen in church. You have no idea what's going to happen that day. God is God, and He's going to show up, and He's going to do things. May we come with an expectation to be surprised by God, like Peter, in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit comes down, and He begins to move and shape and transform, call, deliver, heal. The Holy Spirit of God. You understand, this is the same Spirit that created the world out of nothing? In any service, any given moment, God, in the middle of His Word being preached, can manifest all kinds of breakthrough. That's what I'm saying about Cornelius. Last thing, go ahead and stand up. Let me close with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Can you give Him praise for His Word right now? Amen. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank You so much for Your Word. And I thank You that in this environment, in this atmosphere right now, people's lives are being touched and changed. I believe like that sermon Peter was preaching to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit is coming upon different lives, different families, calling people into ministries, giving them ideas, giving them insight, Lord, giving them breakthrough. Lord, I pray even this week that we would be surprised by the grace of God. Even those in this room right now that may not think that it could happen to them, I pray even them that, Lord, they would be so impressed this week for breakthroughs that come into their life, and they have to just say, that's the grace of God, because I wasn't even looking for that one. I wasn't even doing anything for that one, and here God's being faithful. Here God's doing something. Lord, I pray You would confirm Your Word with signs following. Help them to see and notice those grace interruptions, those grace surprises, even this week and this month, Lord. Father, I thank You right now. For those in the room that need healing, we begin to pray healing over their bodies. We begin to pray breakthrough over their physical bodies in Jesus' name. For those who need finances, Father, we do agree together. And Lord, we know there are ways You have of meeting our needs that, Lord, we have never even thought of. We don't stress about it. We cast the care of it onto You. And Lord, we thank You. You have so many ways to surprise us of how You're going to take care of that thing. Father, right now, we just give You the glory and the praise. We are just grateful people today. That's all we are. We are worshipers of a very good and faithful God. And we are faithful to give You the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss today, I want to reach out to kind of that group of people I was saying possibly that might be on a road that don't know Jesus. And maybe God interrupted your life today. Maybe you're on the internet and God interrupted your life today. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means every one of us need a Savior. The wages and penalty of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And today God has maybe interrupted your path. He's surprised you with His grace today, and He's reaching out to you today. And He's saying, I want to set you free. I want you to be my son and my daughter. I'm not talking about your past. I'm talking about your future. And so today, maybe you say, Pastor Kevin, I don't remember a time in my life I ever gave my life to Jesus. Or you might say, you know, I used to walk with the Lord, and for the last few years, I've done my own thing. I've rebelled against God. I've run away, but I'd really like to come home. Today, grace in Jesus is reaching out to you. Can I get everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes just for the next 30 seconds? I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray with you right at your seat. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to get my life right with God today, would you pray for me? I would like you to be brave enough to raise your hand right where you are, and I'll pray for you. Say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. Just pop up a hand today, and I will pray for you to get your heart right with Jesus today. Anybody at all? Just put it up, and we'll pray together. There's a hand right there in the center, a hand in the back. Awesome. Anybody else today? Pray for me, Pastor Kevin. I just don't want to leave this place out of relationship with God. There's no reason to leave this place that way. Anybody else today? Just pop up your hand right where you are, and we'll pray for you as a group today. Anybody else? All right, church, let's all pray together so they're not praying by themselves. Would you please? And those on the internet right now, pray this simple prayer together. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you celebrate those two that raised their hand? Amen. And others that might have prayed that. We got our prayer teams to come to the front. We have some wonderful prayer teams that are going to be up here, and they're going to be praying for all kinds of things. If you need freedom in an area, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need healing, you need a breakthrough, let's come and we'll agree together. You don't have to wait to just be surprised. The Bible says we can agree together on touching one thing, and we can agree together for God's touch in your life. And so they're here to pray for you today. If you prayed that prayer to give your heart to the Lord, when I dismiss, right behind our video cameras, there's a New Beginnings area. There's some people there that have Bibles for you, all kinds of resources to help connect you. We just would love to walk this journey of relationship and faith with you so you're not doing it by yourself. Let me bless you, and I'm going to dismiss you. Father, I bless Life Church to go. Lord, I thank you for this next season they're walking into. You're speaking about change and transformation. And Lord, I pray that there's an expectancy in their heart. Lord, it is not something like, I got to do this, and I got to fix that, and I got to do this. Lord, may we just today say yes. And Lord, may we have watchful eyes saying, Lord, have your way with us as we go. And also help us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.